following message is presented by First Baptist Church of Morgan City, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.fbcmc.org. Now the message.
We're going to be turning into our Bibles to Psalms chapter 3. We're going to be taking a little break from our studies through Hebrew. And we're going to be talking about something that I think we do not like to talk about. It's a very touchy subject. It's a very taboo word. It's a word that really instills fear into the hearts of many. The way that it's portrayed, the way that it happens, is a fearful thing into many people's hearts. Whenever it's not brought up, you can feel like a crazy person sometimes. And it's something that we, as I think Baptists, we say this, that it's there's this thing about it, and we treat it as a sin. Where I don't think this word is a sin, necessarily. But it's ultimately just a result of the fall as we saw in Genesis. And that word is doubt. For us, many people, we do not know how to walk through doubt. And when we do, we usually see doubt and we kind of push it to the side. Instead of trying to wrestle with it and seek answers through God's word, we push it to the side and it just eats at our back of our brains sometimes until we hope that it just goes away. For many of us, eventually it does. For some, what typically happens is either there's destruction that happens, and there's hurts that deep down inside, and that's evident through their actions. There's also at times where you see deconstruction, and that's very evident to today's world, where there are people who say they're Christians, and then there's a moment in their life where they deconstructed their faith. Can I turn down my volume just a bit, Joycelyn? But there's a sense where they're deconstructing their faith. And that they've abandoned everything that they've believed in because they decided to seek answers, and the answers that they sought was from the world. Now, I want us to wrestle with this question of doubt. I want us to understand, how do we walk through doubt? Because I want us to walk away knowing that there is a healthy way to go about doubt with God and get answers from God and feel secure at the end. And the best way for me to kind of open this up is, let me first share a story of doubt that was unhealthy from my life. There's many, many years ago where I was wrestling with sin in my life, the sin of lust and things that are in my life. And through that all, there's questions and attacks from the enemy that made me really wrestle with my faith. I would fall and be tempted into sin, and there's an attack of the enemy that about questioning God's mercy. And the questions and the things that he would say, while they were lies, I would almost treat them in myself that they were true. And there were sinned. And there is no forgiveness in the Lord from you. You have messed up again. And you are going to be abandoned. You sin and you keep doing the same things, and yet you are constantly being disobedient. Is that evident of a Christ-like character? Now, I can say this. I've walked through that, and I've battled through those sins in my life, and I'm at a healthier point. But that comes from a lot later as well. And that took me also doing this, diving into God's word, seeking the counsel and the mediators and the people in my life that would walk through me as well and give me answers. And for many of us, some of us need those answers as well. Whether you're a Christian or a skeptic. In the apologetics world, there in one of my professor's books, he's called Why Believe. And he says that there's two types of people who are wrestling with doubt. There's the doubting Christians. And the doubting Christians, they're battling battles in their lives. And those battles are more of questions about maybe God's goodness, God's mercy, and God's love. Because for many of them, they're dealing with hurts. So whenever they're at their lowest point, there's a question and there's these doubts that come up. And those doubts come from the enemy. And they're at their lowest point. Example is like this. Doubts about God's goodness. How is God good if I lost my child? If I lost my mother or father? If I lost my brother or sister? I lost my husband or spouse? How is God good in that moment? Or there's also questions like, again, about mercy. And that was evident. I explained that through my experiences. If God's so merciful, why do I keep sinning? And also, how can he be so forgiving? Or it's questions about God's love. If God loves me and cares for me, wouldn't he allow me to have children? I'm barren and there's no way it feels like God loves me. Or if God loves me, why is it that my children have completely abandoned the faith? I want us to walk through those things as well so we can do this so that y'all can understand, us Christians can understand, how can we walk through doubt into security and salvation? So like I said, we're in Psalms chapter 3. And this is a psalmist of David. And David is right now being hunted down. He's fleeing a scene. And the reason why is because he's being hunted by not Saul, but his son, Absalom. So if we look back to the book of 2 Samuel, around chapter 11 through 19, there is some stuff that happens. One, David and Bathsheba, the loss of his child. But there's also the moment where Absalom kind of enters the scene. And Absalom witnesses, and he says that he saw the rape of his sister from his own brother. And Absalom, years later, would decide to enact justice upon his brother and decide to kill his brother. And Absalom observes his father's actions. And Absalom sees that his father, David, mourns for this. Now, David, I'm sure, wrestled and understood that what his son did was wrong. But also that there's a bit of hurt that comes through that from a loss of his son. Now, Absalom saw this and saw weakness in his own father. And he decides to raise up an army against his father. And we see that this army is increasing in numbers, and he's attacking David, and his enemies are saying things to David. And we're going to see that here in the first two verses of the psalm. So listen as I read Psalms chapter 3. It says this, "Lord, how many are my foes? Increase. There are many who attack me. Many say about me, there is no help for him in God." Now, I want to stop right here so we can get to our first point. This is our first step from walking through doubt into security. The first point is doubt is going to arise. Doubt will arise. For David, we see this background narrative that Absalom's hunting him down, and there's this hunting him. And then their enemies are saying these things that are affecting him internally. In some of y'all's translations, it might say this, that they're speaking to my soul itself. saying that there is no salvation in God in him. That God is not going to save him in this moment. So we have the home advantage. And that is speaking to David. And in many ways, that is the same type of way that speech is kind of spoken to us. For us believers, the enemy attacks us. And the first instance is to ultimately go into one thing that the Lord has given us, and that is salvation. Whenever we're at our lowest, the enemy likes to poke at that and try to pull us away from that. But doubt leaves us in a state of fear. I'm sure David in that moment could have felt fear from his enemies. And when doubt arises for us, we feel fear as a result, and we feel uncomfortable. And there will be waking nights where doubt seeps in, and we are fearful, and we are uncomfortable. It's an uncomfortable feeling when that happens. But we have to recognize this, that the adversary is also feeding us lies. Satan is feeding us lies so that we can get distracted. So, this is where we get into the so what. Doubt's going to arise. Doubt leaves us in a state of fear. David had this attack from the enemy. So what does that mean to me? What should I do next? Well, that's where we get into step two. Seek answers. Seek answers. See, David cries out in the rest of this verse, and this is my favorite part of the psalm. This really is my favorite part. And I apologize if I get loud. But it says this, "But you, Lord, are a shield around me, my glory and the one who lifts me my head. I cried aloud to the Lord, and he heard me from his holy mountain." That's where we see it. That's where he sought his answers. He looked to God for his answer. His enemies were attacking him and questioning him and poking at him. But God, he said, "No, I have cried aloud to the Lord, and the Lord has heard me from his holy mountain." Some of y'all translations might say from his holy hill. Let me paint a picture of probably how this probably could look around David. So David is at the lowest point of Mount Everest. And God is all the way at the top. And David is crying out to God, asking him, "Help me. There's enemies. I need your answers for this in this moment." And God, from the top of Mount Everest, responds to David. That's a good thing. That God gave him that answer. And that answer was that he will be a shield around him. He will be a protector for him. And that protector is going to shield him. It's going to attack from when arrows fly, when the shield and the sword clash. For us, we can seek those answers as well, like David. But that involves us looking to God, seeking God, seeking his counsel, crying out to God in those pains, in those sorrows, so that we can know what to do, so we can know his character. And this is more about it. It's that when we cry out, we learn more about God. For us, the doubting Christians, when they're at our lowest and we're questioning about God's character, we can learn not that God's just good through his actions, but that is just within his own nature. God is just good because he is good. God is merciful, not just because he's done it through his actions, but he's merciful because he is just merciful within his nature. That is amazing. He is love, not just because he decides to love through his actions, but he is love because that is just who he is. For maybe the more the doubting skeptic, they can seek answers into God's word. And they resolve that and they dive deep and they can understand maybe there is an instance of a creator and that God is that creator. Yahweh is who he is and Jesus is who he is. Now, here's the thing as well. When we seek answers, I think there's a thing that we need to be prepared for. Because God will comfort us. There's going to be instances where God will comfort us when we are at our lowest and in our pain. But there's also going to be some times that have convictions. And I'm going to give two examples from the Bible itself. So let's turn to John 20. This is after Jesus' crucifixion. The disciples are at their lowest point. And we're now also encountering that the resurrection just happened. And John and Paul Peter are going out and proclaiming that they have seen the risen Savior. And this is good news. And they're going to the other disciples and apostles. But here we also have Thomas. And if you know anything Thomas, what is his nickname? There we go. Doubting Thomas. But God, Jesus, answering Thomas's doubts. So listen as I read. So it's going to be verses 24. But Thomas, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples were telling him, "We've seen the Lord." But he said to him, "If I don't see the marks on his nails in his hands, put my fingers into the marks of the nails, and put my hands onto his side, I will never believe." 1 week later, the disciples were indoors again, and Thomas was with them. Even though the doors were locked, Jesus appeared and came to them and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And here's the directness that it goes into. He looks at Thomas and says, and he kneels, and I feel like he comforts him in this moment. He says, "Put your fingers where and look at my hands. Reach out your hands and put it into my side. Don't be faithless, Thomas, but believe." And Thomas responds to him, saying, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus says, "Because you have seen me and have believed, blessed are those who have seen and yet not believe. Have not seen and yet believe. We see this, the instance of comfort with Thomas. Thomas is at his lowest, and Jesus answers his doubts. He says, "Reach your hands out and look. My hands are pierced. Look at my side where they stabbed me with a spear. And know that I am your God." And he cries out, "My Lord and my God." And he comforts him in that moment. And for many of us, that's what we need. In that moment where we're seeing losses, where we're seeing our childs have walked away, where we're seeing barrenness, that is what we need sometimes when we cry out for an answer from God, is that we need also comfort. And sometimes it's going to happen. The other times, there's another response, and it's more conviction. So let's turn to the Old Testament. in the book of Job's. Job. We're going to be in Job 38. Some context of Job. Job, he was a righteous man before God, and he was a man that really, he had abundant, and God blessed him with a lot. And Satan enters the scene of this, and he's now taking advantage of him. He curses him and decides that he's going to take away his crops, make him poor, give him illness, take away his children. And there's this narrative of Job just wrestling with through this all of just, he's hurting inside and he's dealing with pain. And then there's moments of doubt where he's kind of bucking up and puffing up his chest that I have done nothing wrong. And he also, there's times where there's this point where he's at his lowest and he's saying, no matter what, God is good at the end of this. But again, we're also seeing him buffing up his chest. So at the end, we're seeing this response from God to Job. He says this in Job chapter 38. Then the Lord answered Job from the whirlwinds. So whenever God appears to him, he appears to him almost like in a tornado, like a hurricane swirling around him. So he's seeing across this wind, and he's seeing a whirlwind of rain swirling around him. And this is what he says, this, who is this that obscures my counsel with ignorant words? Get ready to answer me, you man when I question you. You will inform me. Where were you when I established the earth? Tell me if you have understanding, who fixed the dimensions. Certainly you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it? What supports its foundation? Or what laid its cornerstone? While the morning stars sang songs and all the sons of God shouted for joy. So he is getting talked to. And this goes on all the way towards the end of the book. And Job gives out his response. And he ends this book with this one thing. I was guilty. I was not worthy of asking what I asked. And Lord, forgive me for those things. And I'm thankful for this. The Lord, my God, knelt down and he answered. And that's the thing that we need to also be thankful for. Even in conviction, be thankful and be joyful that the Lord still answers those things. When we get through step two, so again, step one, when doubt arises, and step two, that we seek answers, we have the step three, which we find comfort. We find comfort. So look at Psalms, back at Psalms 3. I know I'm making y'all turn a lot. David writes this. He says, I lie down and sleep. I wake up again because the Lord sustains me. I will not be afraid of thousands of people who have taken their stance against me on every side. David had comfort. David, not afraid of those things. He was not afraid of those doubts. He had the answer. And that answer was the Lord is going to be a shield to him and protect him from his enemies. And this is the amazing part. He's kind of, I think, being very big about this. He's not afraid of 1,000 people. That's a lot of people. And David says, no, I can lay down and sleep knowing that I'm not afraid of those things. Because my God is there for me. My God will sustain me. My God will be a shield to me. And those people will not be, I will not be afraid of them. So when we cross this literary bridge, we say that when those we get those answers from God and we find comfort in God, we can rest easy. I think we can say this, whenever we're in doubt, it's hard to sleep at times. But when we're at peace, it is so easy to fall asleep. It is so easy to relax. Because we know what God has done. And we know God, who God is. And ultimately, it leads up to our final step. And our fourth step is a secure salvation. Again, let me explain. Because at point one, there's doubt because the enemies were pointing in at his salvation. They were pointing in that God was not going to save him. And that's how the enemy tries to point at us. But here, in the last psalm, we understand and we feel secure with it. So listen as I read the last one. It says, "Rise up, Lord. Save me, my God. You strike all my enemies on the cheekbone, and you break the teeth of the wicked. Salvation belongs to the Lord. May your blessings be on your people." Amen, somebody. David knew that he was going to be saved by God, no matter what. He had the knowledge of what the Lord, his God, and our God is going to do for him. And that is going to be a protector for him. And the Lord will be the one who fights the battles before David. And the Lord our God is still the same God who fights our battles today in our doubts. The Lord our God is going to be our protector. He's going to be our answer. He's going to be our God that comes to us. He's going to be our God that gives us peace. And we can rest secure in that salvation. Our salvation is ultimately secured in Jesus. For us Christians, we feel comforted and we are at peace with God because we can say, "My God, my Jesus has saved me. My Jesus died on my behalf. My Jesus is holding me in his arms. My God is holding me in his hand, and he says that he will not let me go." And in that holding him in my hand, he's holding me in his hand. It says that we're being molded and conformed and being brought into the image of Jesus. And my God, when he died on the cross, there's a transaction that happens. That there's salvation is being applied to us. That his righteousness is being imputed onto us. And in return, we are imputing our sins onto him. It's like rags. Clean rags are going onto us. His clean rags. His clean clothes and our filthy clothes are going on to him. Because he took the penalty of our sins. And here's the best part for the doubting skeptic. If they find the answers and they find the comfort within the questions they got, and they're ready, that is that fourth step to where they can truly take that next step of salvation. Now we're about to transition into a time of response and a time of prayer. For the doubting skeptics, this could be a time, or doubting believers, this could be a time for you to kind of lay that out before God and lay that out to someone who won't question them or make them feel like they're crazy. Me and Brother Tracy, we are trained and theologically trained to answer questions, and I'm not going to say, and question you on these issues. I'm, matter of fact, going to encourage you and uplift you so that you can get the comfort from God. And for maybe the doubting skeptic can finally respond because they had the answer that they needed. And they can say, I can do this. I can place my faith in Jesus. Because he died for my sins. And that is the ultimate gospel, the ultimate good news for us Christians, humans today. We're going to go to the Lord, and we're going to go into a time of response. Dear Heavenly Father, as we go into a time of invitation and response, I pray that we can find comfort in your security, in your salvation. Lord, I ask you that if we have questions, we have doubts, that we can cry out to you, Lord, from your holy mountain, from your holy hill, and you answer us. And that's good, that you are God who answers our prayers. And Lord, I pray that when we get those answers, we get comforted from you. And Lord, we rest in that security afterwards in your Son. And if there's anyone who's wrestling with that, they can come before you in your throne. And they can bring this up to one either me or Brother Tracy when he gets back. And Lord, I pray that if there's anyone in here ready to take that step of faith, that they can do so tonight. Lord, as we go into a time of invitation and a time of also of worship, I pray we do this in your Son's holy name. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by First Baptist Church in Morgan City, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about First Baptist Church, including contact info, go to the website www.fbcmc.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.